You could begin taking your Bibles, God's holy word, and be finding Matthew, the 27th chapter, the 22nd verse. The subject of God's message to us this Easter brings us face to face with life's great question. If you have your Bibles open, would you please rise as we honor our King and our Lord with this one verse this morning. Matthew 27, verse 22, if you're there, say amen. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. Holy Father, as we come to this message today, there is no doubt sitting in this church, no doubt those who are listening online who are not yet saved. But Lord, for each and every one of us, we've got to answer the question, what are we going to do with Jesus? I pray today that, Father, you would speak in such a way through the power of your Holy Spirit to each and every heart who hears this message, that, Lord, you would burn within them the reality of where they are right now in Jesus Christ or out of Jesus Christ. Lord, would you show each one who they are? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Life's great question is simply this: what shall I do then with Jesus who is called Christ? Well, our text informs us that this crowd said, crucify him. I want you to know that life's great question is first a pertinent question. No greater question can be asked. What shall I do with Jesus? We're not talking about another pastor or another politician, another preacher, another performer. We're talking about the Son of God, the Holy Son of God, Jesus Christ, who died on this cross. He shed his blood for our sins. Answer this question right, and all is going to be right. Answer this question wrong, and all is wrong, friend. But I want you to know something right from the start. Eternity is a long time not to get this question right. Life's great question is second, a personal question. What will you do with Jesus Christ? There are some who would like someone else to answer that question, and others who would like to have to answer it for others. You see, without a doubt, in this church this morning, there are parents and grandparents who are uncertain of the eternal state of their grandchildren or their children. And they would love to be able to answer that question for them, but they can't. You see, it's a personal question. What will you do with Jesus? It's not what will others have you do, or Lord, what will you have others have me do? But Lord, what shall I do with you? Life's great question is third, a pressing question. It is the question God is putting before you now. And God is going to demand you answer it before you leave today. You need to know you're going to make a decision concerning Jesus before you leave if you've not already done so. Everybody will make a decision. Now, you're probably sitting there thinking, oh, Pastor Don, I ain't going to make a decision. You can't force me to make a decision. You're not going to get me to decide. Well, you just decided. You just decided not to decide, and that was your decision. You see, friends, everybody's going to make a decision because Jesus said, He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. You're going to leave this church today having made some kind of decision if you've not already received the Lord Jesus Christ. Today you're either going to say yes to Jesus or you're going to say no to Jesus. You're going to walk out of this church today either under the blood, or you're going to walk out of this church over the blood. You see, the question is not going to go away. What will you do with Jesus? Now, in this strange murder trial, and it was strange because the murder had not yet taken place, you see, they judged Jesus and then they murdered him. But I want you to note that God so arranged it that not only was Jesus on trial before Pilate, Pilate was also on trial before Jesus. And that's the position you find yourself in right now. Just as Jesus stood before Pilate, Jesus stands before you in this middle cross. Just as Jesus was on trial before Pilate, Jesus is on trial before you this morning. What will you do with the cross of Jesus Christ? Just as Pilate will one day be in Jesus' hands, so you too are one day going to be in Jesus' hands. Pilate, the Roman governor, asked the question, "What shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ?" Well, let's consider, first of all, Pilate's privileges. I want you to know the wonderful, glorious privileges that Pilate had. The first privilege he had is he was confronted with Jesus. It's not as though Pilate had never heard of Jesus before. It's not as though he'd never come face to face with Jesus. But now he is in the most uncomfortable position he's ever been in his life. A position he's never faced with Jesus. And like Pilate, you are being brought this morning face to face with Jesus Christ. Like you, Pilate had to answer the question, what am I going to do with Jesus? Jesus was inevitable. He was inescapable. He's unavoidable. How was Pilate going to answer the question, what am I going to do with Jesus? Second privilege, he was convicted concerning Jesus. There were some strong voices that spoke to Pilate concerning Jesus. What were these voices? Well, there was the voice of conscience. The Bible teaches concerning Pilate, for he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Listen, Pilate was no fool. A man doesn't get to be the governor of a Roman province if he doesn't have some brains. Pilate was an understanding man. He was a thinking man. He knew Jesus Christ was on trial for trumped up charges. The Bible teaches there were no ifs, ands, and buts about it. Pilate knew the reason the Jewish religious leaders wanted Jesus crucified. He'd heard every accusation, listened to every witness, and his conscience thundered in his soul. Pilate heard the voice of conscience. And he knew every accusation against Jesus Christ was false. And if you will listen to what your conscience tells you, what your reason tells you, you will have to admit that Jesus Christ is who he said he is. He is the Son of the living God. Christ is that light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Any man who will listen to the inner light that God has given him will recognize and know that Jesus Christ is who he said he was, God's very own Son. Second voice that Pilate heard was the voice of a loved one. His own dear wife came to him and spoke to him, and this is what she said. Matthew 27:19, when he was seated on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that righteous man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Friends, God spoke to Pilate's reason, his conscience. God spoke to his wife and through his wife to him. God was so good to Pilate that he sent to Pilate a messenger that Pilate would love and trust it. have thou nothing to do with that righteous man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Now God has put, friends, the prayers and the solemn entreaties of loved ones in your path to blockade your road to hell, and there's not a one of us that can deny it. The third voice Pilate heard was the voice of Jesus Christ himself. Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" And like a good judge, Pilate is trying to determine what the charges are. What hast thou done? And Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest, I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Jesus Christ gave Pilate a clear declaration to Pilate's honest question. Now you need to know something. First, you need to know, anytime anybody asked Jesus Christ a trick question, they never got a straight answer from Jesus. When they would try to trap him, Jesus would answer their question with a question. But Pilate asked Jesus an honest question. "Art thou a king then?" And Jesus gave Pilate a clear, bold declaration. Pilate was not without a witness. He was not without a conscience. The voice of his conscience or the voice of his reason or the voice of a loved one. And he heard the voice of deity himself. And Pilate was convicted that Jesus was the Christ. Like Pilate, we've also had these wonderful, glorious privileges. Every one of you have heard the voice of conscience, the voice of reason, as if Jesus himself is preaching to you this morning. You've heard the voice of loved ones who have pleaded with you. You've heard the voice of God through the Word of God. Pilate had some wonderful privileges, but he had no more privileges than what you and I have had. Than everybody who's sitting in this church has had, or those who listen online. We truly have had some wonderful privileges. Amen? Well, let's consider then Pilate's pressures. The devil doesn't give up anybody or anything without a fight. The pressures Pilate faced are some of the pressures you faced. And Pilate struggled to make a decision. Why wouldn't Pilate adjudicate Jesus Christ innocent if he was convicted that Jesus was the Christ? Why wouldn't he do as his wife said and have nothing to do with this righteous man? What were the pressures brought to bear on Pilate? They're the universal pressures that are brought to bear on every man who tries to answer life's great question. What must I do with Jesus? You see, Pilate faced the pressure of public opinion. And so do you. And so Pilate, Mark 15:15, and so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Pilate was willing to content the people. Like you, Pilate had to choose between Jesus Christ and the crowd. And the Bible teaches Pilate chose the crowd and crucified Jesus Christ. All of us know there's a certain crowd that presses you in, wanting you to conform. Boy, don't we know that today, amen? Well, the very same pressure Pilate felt so long ago, you may be feeling in this very moment. And then second, Pilate had the pressure of possession, position, and pleasure. From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. Huh. Pilate wanted to let Jesus go. He really did not want to crucify Jesus. Jesus told Pilate, well, he was a king, but his kingdom was not of this world. And the Jews said to Pilate, here's what we're going to do. If you let Jesus Christ go, we're going to tell Caesar, you become the friend of another king. And you know what, brother Pilate's bread? He said, I'm not losing my position for this man. I'm not losing my possessions. I'm not losing my pleasure. He didn't want to lose those things. He's being squeezed into a mold. Some of you know what that's like. He's been spoken to by the voice of his conscience, by the voice of his reason, by the voice of his wife, by deity himself in Jesus Christ. He's convinced concerning Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is thundering in his heart and his mind and his soul. And these are Pilate's privileges. These are Pilate's pressures. And the pressures are getting hard. He wants to please the people, after all, who doesn't like to be liked. He wants to keep what he has by pleasing his superior. Perhaps you're thinking, well, Pastor Don, what on earth does this have to do with me? I don't have any king over me. Well, do you know why some men won't give their hearts to Jesus? Have you ever heard anybody say, all they want down that church is your money? Have you ever heard somebody say that? Money, 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 money. All they want is the money. Do you know there are some men who are afraid to give their heart to Jesus Christ because it might affect their pocketbook? And friend, that's the truth. It also might affect their Sunday mornings if they gave their heart to Jesus. Sunday mornings, when they want to go out and fish, when they want to go out and golf, and when they want to drink that embalming fluid by the six-pack, they have the idea that Jesus desires to take away from them rather than to add to them. There's a tremendous pressure when it comes to position and possession that keeps some men and women from coming to Jesus Christ. Pilate also had the pressure of pride and power. And to be fair, like Pilate, many today probably aren't even aware of it. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. Pilate's really under conviction. His conscience is thundering in his soul. And it keeps getting louder. How do we know? The Bible tells us that he was more afraid. And he went again into the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, From where art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Interesting, isn't it? Jesus gave him a straight forward answer before. Now Pilate comes and asks another question and nothing. Jesus didn't answer him because Pilate, like some of you, didn't obey the light he had been given. Art thou a king? Yes, I am. He got a straightforward answer, but he didn't obey the light that he had been given. How oft has God spoke to our hearts through his word, and you know what you need to be doing, but you're not obeying it, and then you come back and you ask God for a little more, and you get nothing but silence. Friend, go obey the light you've already been given. But that's your problem. You know what stops you? Your pride. Pilate let these other pressures work on him. And so he asked Jesus another question and he got no answer whatsoever. I want you to note in John 19:10, this is what the Bible says. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have the power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Can you just hear the arrogance in his voice? Can you just see him swaggering back and forth? Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? And Jesus answered, Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Pilate's attitude, like so many today, it was filled with self-importance. Don't you know how big a man I am? Don't you know I have the power in my hands? Don't you know who I am? I have the power to release you. And Jesus' response was, the only power you have is the power I let you have. Friends, did you know? You have power to crown or crucify Jesus Christ this morning. You have the power to say yes to Jesus. You have the power to say no to Jesus. Now don't let that go to your head. Because the only power that you have is the power that he lets you have. When the invitation is given, you can sit there and you can say, I'm the captain of my life. Ain't no preacher, especially you, Pastor Don. You ain't going to tell me what to do. I'm the one who runs my ship. No one is going to tell me what to do. No Bible, no Jesus, no pastor. Well, that's a choice, ain't it? You can draw yourself up in your arrogance and you can pout right on out of here to your own demise. That was Pilate's problem, friend. Pilate had three tremendous pressures squeezing him. Public opinion. And then an interesting, in this crazy world in which we live, most people make their decisions by the reactions they get on Facebook. Now that's the truth, isn't it? Hey, they like that, they like that, they like that. I guess I'll keep doing more of that. Wait a minute, I got a thumb down. I better quit doing that. That's how a lot of people live their life. And you're laughing because you know it's true. Well, those three public pressures, public opinion, position, and pride, has escorted many to hell by these three enemies. Well, let's look at Pilate's perversity. How he tried to evade the issue. First, he tried to ignore Jesus. That's what a lot of people in our world do. We just ignore him. We'll pretend he's not around. If we pretend we don't see him, we don't have to deal with him. That's what Pilate did. He just tried to avoid the issue. But Pilate had the inevitable, inescapable, unavoidable Jesus on his hands, and try as you might to avoid it, so do you. You cannot avoid Jesus Christ. The Jews brought Jesus to him. Pilate said, take him and judge him according to your law. What he was saying, in effect, is don't bother me with this. I don't have time for this. You go take care of it. He hoped if he ignored it, it would just go away. Maybe that's what you're thinking. Pastor Don, you can go ahead and do whatever you want with Jesus. I'm going to do what I want. Just leave me alone. Well, I'm presenting Jesus to you. And like Pilate, because I have presented Jesus to you this morning, you now have Jesus Christ on your hands. You may think that you have more important things to do than to take the time to consider Jesus. But one of these days, those things you think are so important won't be so important. You may not walk this aisle today and give your heart to Jesus, though I hope that you do. But friend, know this, someday you're coming down this aisle or some other aisle, somebody will roll you down it, and some preacher, maybe it'll be me, I don't know, they'll get up and say a few words over you. And it ain't going to matter then how much money you have in the bank. It's not going to matter to you then if the part in your hair is straight. You see, somebody else is going to comb that hair for you. The only thing that's going to matter to you in that moment is, what have you done with Jesus? Pilate said, you take him and you judge him. Pilate thought he could ignore it, could ignore Jesus. But that didn't work, because the Jews didn't have the right to execute capital punishment, the death sentence. And by the way, if you're not careful, you're going to execute the death sentence this morning. You're either going to crown or crucify Jesus Christ today. Pilate tried to shift the decision. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the men were a Galilean, and as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at the time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he was desirous to see him for a long time, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod, with his men of war, treated him with contempt and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. Pilate's like a man who tried to go buy a new boomerang and he killed himself while he was trying to throw the old boomerang away. He couldn't get rid of Jesus. Let somebody else make that decision. I'm not making it. Well, Pilate sent him to Herod, and Herod sent him right back. God has so arranged the decision of what you do with Jesus that it cannot be placed on the shoulders of someone else. Your wife, your parents, your pastor, your Sunday school teacher cannot make that decision. You see, sin is personal, and we've all sinned to come short of the glory of God. Sin is personal, and so is salvation. Jesus loved you so much that he died on Calvary's cross. Two thieves, remember, were crucified with him. The cross to your right is the cross of reception. There a thief looked over at Jesus and said, remember me, Lord, when you come into your kingdom. The cross to your left is the cross of rejection. There a thief cursed and mocked him. Well, friend, you're on one of those crosses this morning. None of us could be on the center cross. That's the Son of God's cross. He paid the penalty for our sin, but we've either received him or we're rejecting him. You're on one of these two crosses this morning. Well, Pilate thought, I'm just going to try to admire Jesus. And so Pilate said unto them, ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people, and behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things of which ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done by him. Well, he tries to say some nice words about Jesus, hoping it'll rest with that. Hey, crowd, I've examined him. Ain't nothing wrong with him. He's all right. Do you see Pilate's dilemma? He doesn't want to side with Jesus, and he doesn't want to be against Jesus. He wants to stay in the comfortable middle. He thinks if I can admire Jesus without acknowledging Jesus Christ as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, it'll be all right. Friend, do you realize the greater the light, the greater the judgment? The hottest part of hell is reserved for those who admire Jesus but won't stand with him. Now, if Jesus Christ is a fake and if he's a fraud, an imposter, why don't you just get up on out of here and quit playing church? But if Jesus Christ is the Lord of Lords and if he is the King of Kings, why don't you stand with him and live for him? Don't tip your hat to Jesus, say nice things about Jesus. Jesus Christ would rather have you out and out against him than pretending to be with him without surrendering to him. Now I'm going to ask you a question this morning, and you're not going to like it, so everybody say ouch. Come on. I know you're not dead yet. You're still breathing and fanning yourself. Is your heart really surrendered to Jesus? Now the Holy Spirit's going to examine your life just with that question. And I have no doubt the Holy Spirit is going to show you exactly whether you're surrendered to him or not. And you're going to be confronted. What am I going to do with Jesus? And Pilate tries a diversion. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing unto the people a prisoner whom they would, and they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Listen, Pilate thought to himself, I can just get everybody's mind off of Jesus, get it on Barabbas. We won't have to deal with Jesus. He's trying some sort of diversion. You'd be amazed at how many in this crowd I'm addressing this morning try sex, drugs, liquor, business, education, clothes, cars, trips, vacations, yards, flowers, furniture, golf, fishing, and everything else to not have to think about Jesus. Your mind stays so busy on other things that you don't allow yourself to think about the question, what will I do with Jesus? Well, let's conclude with Pilate's pronouncement and protest. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this righteous person. See ye to it. When Pilate's protest and pronouncement was this, I'm innocent. Don't blame me. Don't blame me. You can take him and crucify him. My hands are clean. Oceans of water could not wash away Pilate's guilt. No, Pilate did not lay the lash upon Jesus' back. Pilate did not spit in Jesus' face. Pilate didn't hold the hammer that drove those painful spikes. He simply tried to remain neutral, doing nothing. And eternity has exposed the utter foolishness of Pilate's decision, indecision, showing it was the worst decision of all. Jesus has already said, he that is not with me is against me. Pilate could not wash his hands of Jesus, nor can you. Pilate stood there with Jesus before him, and as he stood there with Jesus before him, Pilate failed to realize that he too was before Jesus. And when the gavel sounded, allowing Jesus to be crucified, another gavel sounded in heaven and Pilate was condemned. Pilate was so foolish. Friends, it wasn't very long before the gavel that he fondled was held in the hands of someone else, and the royal robe that he wore adorned the back of someone else. Pilate sought popularity, but the people rose up against him, and Pilate died of suicide in exile. Poor, pitiful Pilate. He made the worst decision of all. He sought everything else, and he lost his own soul. And Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" What will you do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? You've had some wonderful privileges. You feel some great pressures. But you can't get out of it. You're going to make a decision concerning Jesus here today. Neutral you cannot be, because someday soon, as you stand face to face with the risen Christ, your trembling heart is going to be asking, "What will Jesus do with me?" Bow your heads with me in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I pray that you will seal this message to our hearts today. Lord God, you have said in your word, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Oh Lord, in every crowd there are those who need to repent unto salvation. And there are those Christians who have been saved but live like the world, who need to repent and return to Jesus Christ. And Lord, there are those in this crowd, without doubt, who are trying to ignore Jesus, run from Jesus. They've got their minds so busy just so they don't have to think about Jesus. Living in the foolish and folliness of a Facebook world. Oh, God, help us. Help them. Lord, we all have the pressure. Are we going to please the people? Are we afraid that we might lose our position, our pleasures, our possessions? Well, that's the life you've called us to, one of surrender. Surrender and submission. Trust and obey. There's no better way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But Lord, we've got to let go of ourselves that we might lose ourselves in you. Father, my prayer this day is that many will say an everlasting yes to Jesus. Oh Lord, wouldn't it be wonderful if every person in this church would crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But, oh God, I fear there will be those here today with a deaf ear. They didn't come with an ear to hear. Their mind is on so many other things. And, Lord, they'll crucify you. Oh, Lord, I think it would be amazing if we all walked out under the blood today. Sins forgiven. Heaven awaiting. And yet, Lord, I fear there will be those who will go out over the blood, who will, through pride and ignorance and indifference, refuse to give their heart to Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you died on Calvary's cross, that you shed your blood for us. And Lord, right now, as we pray, there are those who are on the cross of reception, those who need to get on it. But then, Lord, there's also those who will be on the cross of rejection. And I want them to know that their sins have been paid for in full. Jesus said, "For whosoever will can be saved." The price of sin has been paid. It's available to all. And how sad, Father, that there will be those who will pay the price for their sins because they will refuse to accept your amazing grace. One day, their trembling heart is going to be wondering, what will Jesus do with me? God, speak to our heart. And as we stand to sing, for those needing to make decisions, I pray, oh God, they'll make the courageous step, the only courageous step they've ever taken, and that is to come and give their heart to Jesus. And I pray for those who say they're saved, that if they need to repent, they'd get up here and repent too. When this altar's open, oh God, I pray that you'll fill it today with people receiving Christ and people repenting and getting right with Christ. Oh Lord, we thank you for Resurrection Sunday. There is hope beyond the grave for all who receive Jesus Christ as Lord, as Savior, as King of Kings. It's in his name we pray this day. Amen.